Amen. Well, it's again good to see everybody out for our home group meeting here. And it's just a pleasure and an honor to be able just to share and record this and put it on the internet. I get so many emails from people that just say how much they enjoy it. And I just thank God for the opportunity. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, let's go ahead and turn to Matthew 25:16. And those that are here, I hope you have gotten your teaching outline, and because that's already there. But as we're turning there, let's go ahead and kind of point our spirits back a little bit and look and remind ourselves what we kind of talked about last month. And what we're talking about is investment. And no, this is not about money. An investment, which is important because, you know, the gospel does not travel around the world unless there's some money invested in that. But this is an investment of a different sort and very, very, very important. And it's investing what God has given to us into others. And so what I'd like to talk about, investing. But first, let's go ahead and look back a little bit and 3 points that we looked at last month, taken from Luke 16, verses 10, 11, and 12. First, Luke 16:10, we found that he that is faithful in the least, and that word least here means insignificant or very, very little, will also be faithful in much. And this is a spiritual principle that God is looking for in our lives, that and he knows that we are faithful in the little things, then we will be faithful in the much. And that's why God can trust us. That's why God can give us his goods and give us his things, and even the little things, because he knows if we can be faithful in those little things, then we will definitely be faithful in much and in the big things. And the second thing we looked at, Luke 16:11, is if we are not faithful with unrighteous mammon, and you know, then God will not commit righteous mammon to us or righteous things. If we're not faithful and the unrighteous things, the things that are not really quote unquote righteous, cars, a house. If God gives you a car, he expects you to take someone to church. If God gives you a big house, he expects you to take people in and put them up. If he gives you a big living room, he expects you to have a home group meeting and just share the word of God, just come together and pray. And the last point was, Luke 16:12, is if we're not faithful with another man's stuff, and that stuff can be anything. If you're not faithful with another man's stuff, then God will not give you your own. The condition for receiving your own from God is to be faithful with another man's stuff. You know, we just moved about 4 or 5 months ago here to Steve's Ferry, and Karen and I purposed in our heart, even though we lived about 8 years at 141 Cook Place, it was not our home. It was another man's home. But we purposed in our heart, and we purposed one to another, that we would take care of that home inside and out like it was our own. And I really believe because we took care of Mr. Marshall's home, another man's, that God gave us this beautiful home here in Steve's Ferry. God does watch what we do, and he's very concerned, you know, about what we do. And we're just going to kind of look at that a little bit. By now you should be at Matthew 25:16. It's an interesting verse here. It says, then he that hath received the 5 talents went and traded with the same. So he traded with 5 more talents and made them other 5 talents. And so the one who had 5, he traded, and now he has 10. Now he has 10. God always expects an investment and a return. And that's what was happening here in Matthew 25:16 was, you know, the good steward here went ahead and he traded 5, and now he had 10. God always expects a return and an investment in whatever we do for him. Let me say that again. That's very important. God always expects a harvest and a return in everything that we do for him. Now, it may not be money. Probably money's not that important to God, since he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and even owns the hills. We are kind of, you know, money folks. focused, but God is not. But anyway, God always expects a harvest and a return. That is why He sows seed. That is why He gives us His goods. That is why He wants us to make an investment in the people's life. That is why He wants us to take what He gives to us of His goods and distribute them into lives. Wow. That is why God wants us to take what He gives to us, His goods, and then distribute them into lives. God expects us to invest what He gives us into the lives of other people. Now that is a revolutionary concept to a lot of Christians because they say, bless me, bless me, bless me. God's going to give this to me and I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to spend this on myself. Well, that is not God's idea of investment. God's idea of investment is Him giving to us and we give to others. We are not, I repeat, not supposed to spend His goods on ourselves. We are not supposed to spend our goods on ourselves. We are to touch hearts and lives. We are to feed this one and that one, encourage this one and that one. We are to restore and strengthen our brothers and our sisters. God produces in them what we have invested and is always looking for a harvest. Many Christians do not receive from other Christians, and so they die on the vine. This is a spiritual principle that God has built within the local body of church, is God will work in someone's life through dealings and judgments in their life and bring them to a certain place of understanding in God and even a certain understanding of prosperity. And of course, the biblical definition of the word prosperity means to push forward in God. So God brings someone to this level here, and He does not expect them to say, wow, I have this understanding, I have this deep revelation of God. Oh no. God expects that person who has come to that level to share that with somebody, to give that to them, so that they soon can come, so that they too can grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to go ahead and give what God gives to us to our brothers and our sisters, and we are to share that. I think that is so sad. So many Christians never really mature and develop as God wants them to, because their brothers and sisters have not given them the things that they need, that God has given them. Why? Because we have invested and we have sowed into them. Jesus says, you say unto them, peace be with you. My peace I leave with you. Well, where did you get that peace from? That peace is God's goods. It's not our goods. It's God's goods. He gives us His goods. And they are multiplied in and out from us through our faithfulness and our walk with Him. And through our distribution and through our service to others. That is where we get that peace. God gives that peace to us. And as God gives that peace to us, then, and only then, can we give that peace out to somebody. God invests that peace, the peace of God in us, and then we are able to give that out to others. Amen?
Amen.
It is very, very important. We are to bless others. We are to serve others. We are to lay down our life for others. No greater love than a man would have that he would lay his life down for his brothers and his sister. Now that is not necessarily stepping in front of a bullet. That's not what that's talking about. I don't believe that's what Jesus is talking about indeed. I think what Jesus is talking about, that we go ahead and we lay our life down. We help our brothers and our sisters. We give to them. We want to see them get blessed over our blessings. I mean, it's strange, you know, so many people say, let's go to church and get blessed. Well, that's the wrong concept. We are to go to church so that others can be blessed. That's the concept. We are to go to church so that we can say or do something that will bless somebody else. We need to be more concerned about blessing somebody else than we get the blessing. And I promise you, if you are more concerned about blessing your brother or your sister, then God will see to it that you have all that you need. He will then bless you beyond your wildest dreams. But we must learn how to lay our life down for our brothers and sisters. This is God's intention in our life. God's intention is for us to bless others. And if we don't have to worry about the blessing, well, then God will make sure that we get what we need. There is always a giving, and there's always a watering, and a giving out to others and everyone. In 1 Corinthians 3, 6 through 8, Paul was talking about how Apollos waters, let's go ahead and turn there. I don't want to speak. Let's go ahead and turn there. 1 Corinthians 3, 6 through 8. Amen. It says, I blessed, Apollo watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither he who plants is anything, not he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Then we think, well, I've done a wonderful thing for God. I've preached around the world. Well, no. I mean, that's not a wonderful thing. That's all God, you know, strengthening you and enabling you to do that. And I watered, and I told this person, and I told that, you know, that person about the Lord. Well, that's all nice, but that's just God giving you the breath to do that. But God who gives the increase, God gives that all to us. Now, he who plants, and he who waters are one, and the one will receive his own rewards according to his own labor. We will receive our reward according to our own labor. There it is again. We go ahead and God gives to us, and then we give out. And we will receive our reward according to not what we've done, Remember, God is really not concerned what we do, because it's all his ability. It's everything that he does in our life. But God is concerned about how we do things. How we do things. Very, very, very important point. Proverbs 11:25, a wonderful verse, also talks about watering. The liberal soul shall make fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. So he who gives out, he who invests in the lives of people what God has given them, will receive back from that investment. I have a wonderful friend named Bill Pepper, who lives in Wasilla, Alaska, and he travels around and just a father in the Lord to me. And I remember one day when we were sitting in Germany, he would always spend a couple hours with me and kind of read me the riot act a little bit and just kind of counsel me a little bit. And one day we were talking about this very, very subject of investment. And he said that I would be able to see in the people what I have put in them as the pastor. And I looked at him kind of funny, but I didn't say anything, because I really didn't understand what he was talking about. But he was talking about this very, very topic. He was talking about, as the pastor, that I would stand up and I would share the Word of God out from what God has put in my heart. And then I would be able to see what is growing in them, you know, what is gain in their life and what is lack in their life. I'd be able to see, as the church goes on, areas in their life that they were lacking. And they were lacking in those areas because no one, including myself, has put that into them. And when I finally realized what he was talking about, it was like, wow, I just could not believe. And sure enough, I could see characteristics and nature of myself. And I could see that growing in some of the people. Because remember, whatever is planted grows. This is another spiritual principle. If we plant anger and strife and hostility and bitterness in somebody, and we can do that, then that is what's going to grow. But if we plant love and acceptance and forgiveness and understanding and all those things into people, then that's what will grow in their life. Amen. There may be two more sneezes coming. But we are to give, 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 give. and God sees the return. Let me say that again. We are to give, 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 and God sees the return. He sees the harvest. He sees that we were faithful. And the harvest will show Him what you were in your life and how that investment works. And the harvest that God will see will show Him what we were in our life and how that investment works. If we cannot give or we cannot water, then we will not receive from God or we will not be watered. This watering and this giving is the, you know, is the symbolism as a plant that is growing in the ground, and you come by with a little bucket of water and you pour some water on there and you're helping it and you're nurturing it along. Well, if we can't invest in the lives, if we cannot water, if we cannot give to people, then we will not receive from God. And our goal as far as say, At the same measure that we invest into others' lives, God will invest into our lives. Wow. Remember, God is to us what we are to God. God is to us what we are to God. And I really believe if we don't invest into people's lives, have it be money or have it be time or caring or love or just whatever God gives us, if we do not invest that into lives, then God will not invest into our lives. Amen? How were you in your heart? How giving and how merciful and how kind? He will see all of that. He will see that quality because it will show Him. And He will know, and we will be known by our fruits. We will be known by our words. Now, I don't know about you. If you look around, I don't see any apple or pears hanging off my arms. But I will tell you, as you talk to me or as I talk to people, all I have to do is just let them talk and they will tell me everything about them that I need to know. And one of the greatest fruits in our life is our words. Our words is more of a fruit to where we are in God and our attitudes and our understandings of the Lord, even more than deeds. Because anybody can do good works. Anybody can do good works, but when we really talk and open up, then we can really, really see, you know, see that works. And that's so true. We are known by our fruits, by our words, by our attitudes, and by our behaviors and our action. And our works, oh yes, and even our works, but more by our words and our attitudes and our behavior. Our works are deeds and things, you know, that we do. And all are seen, and they're all are seen out from the lives of other people. Again, what we have planted grows. So we will go ahead and through our works and through our words and all of this, we will go ahead and we will plant that, we will water that, we will, you know, we will give that into the lives of people. And then it will grow. We will see what it will grow. The whatever plant it grows, every father and mother knows what I'm talking about. Because if they look back and they think of their child, the little small child that was a child, their mom and dad, they planted things into those children. And, you know, they taught them and they instructed them and they worked in, you know, their lives and all of these things. And as those children grew, as they grew from childhood into adolescence and into, you know, manhood or womanhood, then their characteristics came out. And the characteristics that came out of them was what their mom and their dad planted in them. So if they're Christians today, that's because mom and dad has planted Christianity and the Christian principles of the Word of God in them, and they're Christians today. You know, a lot of people, they are, you know, young and they're wild oats, but I promise you, if you have planted the Word of God in children, they will, you know, someday they will return back to the Lord, because whatever is planted grows. Very, very important principle. Now, God will not be so enamored or so impressed with all of our hard works, because it's God who works in us both to will and do of His good pleasure. Paul shares this truth in Ephesians 2 and 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will, one, and do His good pleasure. What he's going to see is what the work is telling him, and what the work is telling him about our character and what we are becoming. The work of God in our life is not really to do things per se, but the work of God in our life is to change our character and our nature, and to develop that. When I travel abroad and go overseas, you know, I go over there and I'm going to save the heathen, or I'm going to, you know, preach the gospel and so forth and so on. Well, that's not God's intention in my life. God's intention when I go overseas is to work in my life and conform me more into the character and the image and the nature of His Son Jesus Christ. And He's looking to see what that going overseas and all of the troubles and airplanes and airports and all that good stuff and traveling and all that good, and He's seeing what that work is developing in my life. I'm investing the money and the time to travel and so forth and so on, investing that into other lives, and God is looking to see what that's developing in my life. The type of works in our life reflects our character and our nature. And in others. Say that again. The type of works in our life will reflect our character and our nature into others. However, God is not so concerned with the works. Oh, look at this. I remember I was talking to Faith Matua one day in Nairobi, Kenya. And we were talking about, you know, this subject about works and stuff like that. And I told her, it doesn't matter what we do for God, but it's how we do things for God. And she just kind of like jumped up in the air. Now, Faith is about 5'3", and she just kind of jumped up in the air. She says, now I understand. Now I understand. And I said, well, Faith, what are you talking about? She said, now I understand how I can compete with all these big Bible teachers that come by that travel and do all of these things, and I'm just a poor housewife. And I said, well, yeah, that's not the way God looks at that. God looks at that as not what we do for Him, it's how we do things for Him. And as a housewife, God is looking at how you are investing into the lives of your children. If you're the pastor's wife, how are you investing into the life of the people in the church? And God is not looking at the work. No. God is looking at your character. God is looking at, the nature of what's being done in your life. It will bring to Him that work in you that was generous and grateful and merciful. That work in you that was so understanding to others. That would bring all of that before the Lord. And He will be aware of your works. He will look at the works and He will just see what that all was telling Him. God knows what we are investing into others. He does. He sees our investment into others. And by what is growing in you and what you planted into others. And I don't know about you, but that is a very troubling thought to me, because sometimes I don't invest into others. And, you know, this would be a great encouragement to everyone, so that we would be more understanding and more loving and more concerning to invest more. And I'm not talking about, you know, you got to invest money. That's what I'm not talking about. I'm talking more of ourselves. And I would think God would be more pleased if we invest more of ourselves, more of our time and our, you know, things that, just the things that God has given us. Just to sit and talk and just share some things. That is just so critical in so many lives. And God is watching for this to happen. Amen. God can get a deep look into all of us, and He can say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful. He looks right into us, into these qualities that are moving in us. Matthew 25, 35, 36, and 40. Really interesting verses. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done this unto one of the least of these, my brother, you have done this unto me. That is how far our investment goes. The greatest investment you can make. The greatest investment you can make. It's not clothing and doing all those things, and all those things are important, but really the greatest investment that we can make is when we just give ourselves. We can give ourselves of these. Because when we're investing into people's lives, then we're doing that unto the Lord. The least of these, my brother, you have done this unto me. And these qualities in us, and this is what God is looking for in our life. That we must give, we must invest in the life. God is always working, working and working and working in our life. God has always given us things. And we're not supposed to spend it on ourselves, we're supposed to spend that in the lives of others. And God will take care of what we need. Why invest? Well, we know that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord God shall be saved. But Matthew 7:21 says, Not everyone that saith to him, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom. And that word kingdom there is reign, you know, the reign of heaven. But he that doeth the will of the Father, which is in heaven. But you have to understand that Jesus is not saying here. There is a big difference in being saved and entering into the kingdom of heaven. And if you read the Bible, it keeps them separate. But here we are to invest. We are to see people come into the kingdom of heaven. Let me say that again. We are to invest into people's life so that they can come into the kingdom of heaven. Not go to heaven. That happens in salvation. But we are to invest into people's life so that they can come into the kingdom of heaven. So they can come under the reign of the Lord. So they could come into the things of God. So they could come to that place of salvation and the understanding of, therefore, grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are to invest into lives so that can happen. We cannot invest into their lives to save them, because I can't save anybody. But we can invest into lives so that they come to the understanding knowledge of Jesus Christ. How can we do that? We can put them in our car and take them to church if they need it. We can talk to them about salvation. We can share the words of God with them. We can do all of these things. We can invest into their lives. We can help them come under God's authority. There in Matthew 7:21 it says, shall enter into the kingdom. That is translated, coming under God's authority. Now everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall come under God's authority. Now there are a lot of people in the church today that are out there saying, Lord, 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 but they're not under God's authority. Amen? They're not under God's authority. And then there's a number of people that are under God's authority. And they say, you know, Lord, Lord, and they will enter into the kingdom of God. Those people that have come under God's authority, I promise you, they're out there investing into lives. They're investing into lives so that they will see other people come in to the kingdom of God and come into the authority of God. We must invest into lives so that other people are able to come into the kingdom of God. What a great idea. This, what a price it would be to go ahead and to invest into people's lives, to give of yourself, to lay your life down for them so that people can come into the peace of God. Could come in, you know, whose minds are just troubled and problems in their lives, and you know, they think of suicide or they think of all of these things. But now we go ahead and we just invest into these lives and we give of ourselves and we lay our life down and do all of these things, and they can come into a place of peace of mind. Wow. Wonder what the value of peace of mind is. Well, if your mind is not upset, there's not much value. But I guarantee you, if your mind is troubled and you can't sleep and you have bad thoughts and all of these terrible things, can you imagine what one person would give to have peace of mind? They would probably give all that they have. And we're to invest into the lives of people. People that have no peace of mind. People that are not happy. People that are not under God's control. So that someday they can come into the kingdom of God. And then come to that place of salvation to where they could be saved and go to heaven. Amen. Some parting thoughts. You cannot put a qualification on salvation. Like Jesus does with the kingdom of God there back in Matthew 7:21. Jesus never put any qualification on heaven. He that calleth upon the name of the Lord God shall be saved. If you want to be saved, then all you got to do is believe. Our salvation is through believing in our Christ-like walk is by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight or seeing. John 3:16, one of the most famous verses in the Bible, for God so loved the world that He gave. Let me stop right there. Giving it at the heart of the gospel. For God so loved the world He gave. You can say, for God so loved the world that He invested His Son in the lives of people that needed Him. That God invested the life of His Son. More than the life of His Son, but everything, all the qualities and the power and the authority and all of the things that encompass Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah. All of those qualities, all of those things, the Father invested all of that into the lives of the people. His only begotten Son, that to whomever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Without that investment right there at the beginning of that verse, then the people would have perished. They would have perished, and you will perish, and I will perish, unless we're able to receive from God, and unless we're able to receive from our brothers and our sisters some things that God has given them. Because that investment happened there in the beginning of John 3:16, now people can believe, and people will not perish, but they will have everlasting life. Giving is always a part of the gospel. And you can say investing is always, always a part of the gospel. Therefore, there is nothing that we must do to be saved. Oh no, to be saved is we have to believe. But before we can believe, there must be an investment. There must be an investment into our lives. And I thank God that my mom, when I was 6 years old, and all through my life, invested things into me. Charles Hahn, and I can just go on, Jake Luffy, and just, you know, my older brother John, and Tony Ross and Bill Pepper, and I could just go on and on and on and just mention people that have invested so much into my life. Now, they haven't saved me. I'm saved because I asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins. But through their investment into my life, then I was able to come to an understanding to where I could believe that the Word of God is true. Amen? The investment is just so, so important in our life. After all, God even gives us a measure of faith to be saved. Until then, we have no faith to be saved. Faith cometh by hearing a word from God. And when we hear from God, then we have faith. Well, where do we hear from God? We hear from God by reading the Bible. We read the Bible. Sometimes you read the Bible and it's like pulling teeth, you know, and it's just like, what in the world? And then sometimes you're just read the Bible and it's like the words just leap off the page and wrap around your throat and just squeeze the life out of you. Well, that's God's intention. He wants to kill us and bring us down to the low place so that, you know, we can hear from Him. But, you know, we hear that, you know, and from the Word of God, and then also we hear that from our brothers and our sisters that are investing things into our life. Our salvation is from God, not from Jesus or the Holy Spirit, through believing His word through us by the work Jesus did on the cross. Each has their own part to do. The Holy Spirit does His part. The Father does His part. Jesus has already done His part. And our brothers and our sisters are to do their part. And yes, we are to do our part. We are to invest into the lives of people. It is very, very, very important in our life. He gives to us everything that we need to be saved. And our salvation is our choice. Our salvation is our choice. And God gives us everything that we need to invest into the life of others. There is nothing that we need today that God has not already given us for us to invest into the lives of others. God has given us His Word, His Spirit, His Son who has died for us. He's given us, the Bible. He's given us everything that we need. And all we have to do is choose. I choose to invest into the life of my children. I choose to invest into the life of my friends. I choose to invest into the beautiful, the wife that God has given me. I choose to go to Romania and Bulgaria. I choose to do these things. And God is watching. And God is watching what this is all working through. Isn't that simple? By grace are ye saved, not by works. This is the message. It is not talking about, this is the passage, Matthew 7:21. It's not talking about being saved of our sins, oh no. He is talking about a function, a union, and an operation. He is talking about reigning in His kingdom. Ephesians 2:5-6 says, even when we were dead in sin, He has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and have raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. First salvation, and then we can be seated with Christ in heavenly places. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thought to know that as you share the plan of salvation with someone, that someday that person will be seated with Christ in heavenly places? Wow. That is just a wonderful thought. Ruling and reigning, being seated with Him, are areas and things in our life. Now, ruling and reigning is not like we don't have a throne in heaven that we're going to sit on and we're going to judge and all that good stuff. No, ruling and reigning is ruling on earth today and reigning over things in our life. We are ruling and reigning over attitudes. We are ruling and reigning over areas in our life that are not what God wants to see. And that's what we're going to rule and reign over first, because I promise you, if you cannot rule and reign over attitudes and areas in your life and desires and all of these things in your life, then you will never, ever be seated with Christ in heavenly places. The first place we must rule over, is areas in our life. And we must reign over them. Not by our spirit, but by God's spirit. We must allow God to change our lives and work in our lives through His dealings and His judgments and bring us to a place to where we can rule over areas in our life by His Spirit. Amen? It's a lot different than a lot of people want. We're going to rule and reign, and we're going to be up there, and we're going to do all these things. Well, you would do all of those things. You'd be seated in Christ in heavenly places and all that good stuff if you first can allow God to work in your life and bring you into those places so that you'll be able to rule and reign over attitudes and bad thoughts and all of these areas in our life. Everybody has a purpose for the kingdom. Amen? Everybody has a purpose for the kingdom. You have to become what He wants you to become in order for you to do what He wants you to do. Say that again. You have to become what He wants you to become in order for you to do what He wants you to do. And you will not qualify for the kingdom of God by saying, save me. You will not qualify for the kingdom of God by saying, "Save me." However, you will not be able to qualify for the kingdom of God unless you're first saved. Unless you're first saved. It is two separate things, and do not confuse them. Before you can be saved, you must come into the kingdom of God. Before you're saved. Being saved is something, you know, is something different than coming into the kingdom of God. And we come into the kingdom of God as people invest into our lives. We come into the kingdom of God as we open up our hearts and as we, you know, read the Word of God. And then as we come into the kingdom of God, then, and only then, can we be saved. We cannot do what we want to do and become what He wants us to become. Let me say that again. We cannot do what we want to do and become what He wants us to become. We must do what God wants us to become. We must do the things, and only those things, in our lives so we can become what God wants us to become. We cannot go our way and go God's way. There are two ways we can go. We can go our way. We all are as sheep. We have gone our way. Or we can go God's way. And unless we go God's way, we will never ever become what God wants us to become. A lot of Christians today think, well, I can do what I want to do and say what I want to do and, you know, go where I want to go and be a Christian. Well, that is a fallacy. That's just wrong teaching. That's not true. Because we must do and say what God wants us to say. We must go where God wants us to go so that we can become what God wants us to become. We must be restricted and limited to only those things that God wants us to do and say. Just like Jesus was restricted. He had no liberty. He had no freedom. Jesus would only do and say the things that the Father told Him to say and do. He said, "Of myself, I can do nothing except for what the Father tells me to do." And that is the same thing in our life. We must restrict ourselves. We must limit ourselves so that we can become what God wants us to become. It's kind of amazing. I hear, "Freedom! There's freedom in God! Hallelujah, brother!" No, that's not true. There's no freedom in God. No freedom in God. It's out of our restrictions and our limitations in God. That is what brings us to fulfillment and completion in Him. That will bring us into the kingdom of God, and then that will bring us to a place of salvation. I want to reemphasize that point again. You know, we must come in under the kingdom of God. We must allow God to work in our life and just help us and, you know, get us through some of these bad areas and thinking in our life, so that we can be saved. So that we can believe. It's that work of God working in our life often before we even say I hate to say this, the sinner's prayer, because the sinner's prayer is not in the Bible, and I don't like that term. But it's God working in our life will bring us to a place, and you know, that will just still us and quiet our heart and bring us down to a place so we can hear God's voice, and then you know we'll be able to hear. And anybody that's ever experienced that in their life, then they will know exactly what I am talking about. So the Lord says, "He that does the will of the Father," that is the qualification He puts down. "He that does the will of the Father," and our investment into the lives and the kingdom, will bring all of this into us. And that will be well done. The only way into the kingdom of heaven is to do the will of the Father. Let me say that again. The only way into the kingdom of heaven is to do the will of the Father. Obedience to God opens the gates to both the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. Obedience to God opens the gates to both kingdoms, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. Unless first you enter the kingdom of God, you will never ever enter the kingdom of heaven. There is a difference. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to You now, dear Lord, we thank You and we praise You for Your love and Your many blessings in our life. Father, thank you for your word tonight, Father, Lord God. Lord, help everyone on the sound of my voice, Father, Lord God, to be a greater investor, Father, Lord God, to see the need, Father, Lord God, and see the importance of investing things, Father, Lord, investing those things that you have given us, Father, into the lives of other people, Father. Lord, in some water, Father, Lord God, in some plant, in some dung, Father, Lord. Lord, that you will give us a greater heart and a greater concern, Father, Lord God, to give, Father, Lord God, to our brothers and our sisters and people that we would consider to be even our enemies, Father, Lord God, that we would give, we would break off, Father, some of that which you have given us and feed that to them, Father, so that they'll be able to come into the kingdom, Father, Lord God, the kingdom of God. And so that someday they'll be able to enter into the kingdom of heaven, Father, where you are. And we just thank you and we praise you, Father, Lord. And we'll give you all the praise and all the honor and the glory. Lord, we pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.